pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Ready to go here on a Tuesday. We survived Monday, and it was not easy. It was a close call. Thank you for being a part of the program. We have a lot of great guests and your phone calls. That's been pretty active since we started this week off. Let's get to some headlines right now. Jaden Daniels, go ahead and give him the trophy. He's the AP's unanimous Offensive Player of the Year, and it is currently trending like a Heisman Trophy winner. These are the four finalists, and Jaden is now off the board, so minus 1,800, according to my friends in Vegas, or actually in the control room, say, you've got the trophy. Caleb Williams, meet Jaden Daniels. Cody Schrader, what a year he had. Best walk-on in the nation, the Burlsworth Trophy. We obsess over recruiting, and this guy just walked on. Portal chaos continues. We're in day two. A lot of players are still pondering. Dylan Gabriel, man, he's been around, hasn't he? Kyle McCord, he started the Michigan game for Ohio State. Will Rogers, Vandergraff, back up at UGA, or one of the backups. Cameron Ward. David Hale is in the portal as well, and he'll be here. Philip Stutz, our good friend, have not seen him in a while. He's the one that first told us about NIL years ago. He said, watch out for this. He'll join us. Kevin Clark from the Kevin Clark Show and David Ubbin from The Athletic. And your phone calls. We begin with a man named Turtle in Selma, Alabama. I've got to hear more from this. Hey, Turtle.
Paul.
Hello.
About darn time you taking my call. It's been months. Been calling you for months.
Well, I think
anyway,
today's
roll
your
tide,
lucky day and ours.
Bomb. Back up on top. SEC champions coming for that title, baby. Back where we belong. First of all, Paul, I want to say, what 45-year-old man refers to himself as Booger? That guy is the biggest Bama hater I know. And he has more Bama fatigue than I've ever seen. Did you watch him on Sunday give his spiel about Alabama?
Yeah,
he said, I
heard
Alabama
that.
Getting in over Florida State is a travesty for college football. I can't believe it.
Well, I thought it was absurd. But, I never get too exercised over what some other analyst says. I've learned that that is their opinion. I don't care about any of their opinions. I care about mine and yours, the caller. So I wouldn't lose any sleep over a man named Booger whose real name is Anthony. Last night we had Jerome on toward the end of the show. He twice violated the show policy on foul language. Apparently, we still have that. Other shows at ESPN don't, but we do. Jerome is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, listen, man. I violated no damn no language. You know that? You hear me? You know what, man? I'm 53 years old. My mom been trying to get me to stop cussing for 40 of them. You hear me? 40. You hear me? She just gave up on me. She just told me to pray about it, Fireball. You hear me? And I started praying. He just told me, Jerome, I'm just going to deal with you when you get to heaven. You hear me? I ain't even got time to stress over you. When you get to heaven, I'll take care of you. So when he told me, Jerome, when you get to heaven, oh, man, this is a wrap. You hear me? I know I'm in a good hand. So how you doing?
I am doing really great.
All y'all looking like boo-boo the damn food, ain't you? Hear me?
Yeah.
Y'all just kicked Bama to the curb. Especially you. Y'all talking cash trash around here about Bama. Hear me? I'm just sitting back to myself. Ooh, Jesus, I can't wait to get my hands on these clowns. You hear me? Yeah, I'm glad y'all kept Georgia at number one. You hear me? Because, see, that's why I ain't go back and forth on Twitter with them clowns. Because I knew as long as Georgia stayed at number one, y'all was in trouble. You hear me? Y'all was in trouble. And then when we did get that fan ball, they couldn't even put up a fight. You mean y'all hype them clowns up all this time, man? But we just went in their backyard, hit them in the damn mouth. They just want to cry. You hear me? Beck's in, go. He out there looking like Peyton Thorne. Want to sit down, man? Play football. Y'all supposed to be the best team in the country. Show up and do something. You hear me? Y'all lucky we ain't blow their tail out, but that's okay. That's okay. Now, what you got to say about that?
I don't really have anything to say about that. It's your phone call.
You should. You should. You've been popping your gums all year long, and now you ain't got nothing to say. Now they talk here. Alabama shouldn't be in there. Man, y'all got supposed to say so, man. They want to call the police on them. You hear me? We ain't do nothing. You hear me? Y'all should be mad at college football, the playoff committee for keeping us at number 8 all year long. You hear me? And as far as Michigan, I ain't going to waste my damn time on Michigan. I'm going to tell you like right here, man. The only chance Michigan got is if Jesus Christ unzip heaven and say, thou shalt not, and I'm going to finish it. Whoop ass. You have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. You too. I liked it better when he cursed. Andre is up next.
Coach Paul Fireball. Coach Jerome standing on top of the Empire State Building and beating his chest like King Kong, isn't it, Coach?
He is.
Boy, he's talking loud today. Look, Coach, boy, if you heard Roddy White and the Cole Auerbach today, the crying, the whining, the sniveling, Coach, I'm a LSU fan. I ain't got a dog in the fight, but I felt like the best team got in. You take the four best teams. This ain't out here. You ain't playing putt-putt golf. You're going for the best. You want to see the best game. You don't want to see what happened last year with TCU getting taken directly behind the woodshed. You want to see big boy ball. But, man, the crying, Coach, and Cornell's been crying. He's been taking shots at the conference forever, but the crying, the whining. But as you stated yesterday, the ACC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, they all formed a coalition to block this stuff. It could have happened earlier, but no, they blocked it. So we got to wait another year. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Reese is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Reese.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Hey, Mr. Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I usually don't catch the show live, but I finished up early at work and was driving home and thought I'd give you a call. First off, congrats to the four teams in the playoff. You know, a lot of hard work represented for sure. I grew up an FSU fan. Went to medical school there. Definitely disappointed by the playoff committee decision. I definitely understand that they want the best four teams. I just feel like winning has to matter, and that's really how we identify the best teams in the most objective way possible, by looking at the win-loss column. And truthfully, if we're using the committee's logic, I just don't understand how FSU is even ranked ahead of Georgia. I think probably we should be ranked between 10 and 15, and I really think Georgia has the biggest argument to be in the playoff, because I suspect they'd be favored against any of the teams.
Yeah, you
in
know,
the
it's interesting, Reese. I have a theory, and we'll never know because we don't have any transparency. But I'm pretty sure the committee wanted to put Georgia ahead of FSU, and probably did until the final vote, and then they said, you know what, that's going to look bad, so let's go ahead and. We know we're going to take some hits, but let's reward FSU by putting them ahead of Georgia.
That's interesting. You may be correct. It just seems so upside down to have it the way they do it. Hopefully, in the future, maybe we can have a little more transparency and.
Well, that's been my complaint for many, many years, and I really just quit talking about it because I hate to be that guy that never. Shuts up about the same thing, but it's not ever going to be considered legitimate until they tell us how they did it, and they don't. They leak out what they want to leak out, and it's pathetic.
Yeah, I agree, Mr. Paul. Well, thanks for taking my call. In conclusion, I was going to say, you know, as a Florida State guy, I think Jaden Daniels should win the Heisman. He seems like you know, off the field, he's a great guy, and obviously he's an incredible quarterback. So
yeah, no, he is going to win. Thank you for the call. Brian is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to run something by you here, and I just want your thought on it. This whole fiasco with the committee where they're putting Florida State not getting in, I honestly think that they got ranked too high, and I think that if they come in behind Georgia, we're not going to have as much of an issue. And also, is it just me, or do you also think that Georgia looked better in the loss to Alabama than Florida State looked better with a win over Louisville?
Yeah, well, because what you can point to in the Georgia game, you can point to the questionable call. You can point to a couple of minor things that changed the game. There's nothing. I mean, I read an article today that said Georgia really should have won the game because they had more first downs. I never knew we counted first downs as a metric. But the problem with the ACC game, it was just hard to watch. The ACC folks can say whatever they want. And we have one coming in here in a minute because we do believe in fairness here. And we'll talk more about that concept right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Shot of committees there. That might be the truest thing I've ever said. Welcome back to the program. David Hale will join us here in a couple of minutes. Pat is in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Two or three things, Paul. In my opinion, the four best teams at midnight last Saturday night in order were Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and Michigan. Alabama beat Georgia Saturday. They were better than we were on Saturday, but we still have Kirby Smart, and we still have our coaching staff, and we still recruit, and 3 and 4 and 5 stars still want to play for us, and we still have the depth, and we still have the fan base. We've lost one game in 3 seasons, and it was the SEC championship. And the last 2 games we've lost has been to Alabama and to Nick Saban. So Georgia's not going anywhere. And I know
you're right about that, Pat. And I don't think it changes a single thing about this season. Let's go to Coy next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just was going over in my head the notion about how, you know, it probably serves you pretty good, the fact that Bama is in the playoff. Wouldn't you say, being that a lot of your base base people calling in and watching your show or Bama fans. So stroking them in the playoff is probably a really good for business, right?
Well, whether it's good for business or not, got a lot of people in Georgia that watch too. It's a bigger state. We don't control the outcome of the game.
Yeah, but I've always kind of noticed in the back of my mind that I can feel it, you know, that you definitely are fans of Bama for sure. I mean,
Corey,
where do you live? Would run first.
Corey, okay, where do you live?
I live in Palm Coast, Florida.
And you're a fan of which school?
I'm probably the team you probably deep down do not like. You wouldn't say it on air, but I think you kind of deep relish the fact that the Gators stink right now.
I really, I didn't ask. I just asked you what school. I didn't really.
Oh, I'm a Gator fan.
Okay. Well, I spent 30 years of my life in Alabama. So would it covering Alabama? Do you think it makes some common sense to think that I was close to that program for a long time?
Yeah, but you went to UT, right? I mean, how did you just walk
away
from that?
Let me break it to you, okay? When you're a professional, where you went to school should not ever affect your objectivity, because it's important to me, and I've professed that, but I'm not going to allow where my degree came from a million years ago to affect how I do what I do now. So I'm not really sure
so
I understood. I'm not really sure I understood your point.
Dancing around in your living room when they won that title.
What was that?
You weren't secretly like dancing around in your living room.
Oh, actually,
when
I wasn't
they,
in my living room.
Won?
I was in Atlanta, and I was dancing around there. Yes, I was dancing
okay.
with Big Al.
Well, I tried to needle you today. It's not going to work. Have a good week, man. Appreciate
it. You're not much of a needler, though. But thanks for the call. Andrew is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing great, thank you.
All right. Now, I'm a big SEC fan. I'm from Florida. And, you know, I know everybody's been talking about the committee and Florida State being left out. But really, the truth is, the case was about Michigan. Michigan, they had the weakest out-of-conference schedule. And while it was bad for Florida State, Georgia should have been in there. What are your thoughts about that? The committee's talked about out-of-conference play, but you look at what Michigan played for their out-of-conference, East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green. They didn't play anybody, and yet you get rewarded. You're getting rewarded to basically not play anybody out-of-conference. Florida State at least played two SEC teams. But Georgia, the drop from 1-5, and especially when you have it where, I mean, 1-6, especially when TCU, last year this committee said TCU going in 3 into
hey,
the national,
you know,
into the conference.
I'm glad you
week.
Brought that up, but there's another school here that has not been mentioned a single time about who they lost to and where they ended up. And you know who it is?
Who?
Ohio State.
I get it with Ohio State, but
I mean Ohio State lost to the number one team in the country on their home field, and they weren't even part of this equation.
And I get that, but you know, I think that with Ohio State, you know, it used to be that the win streak you had would matter. So when you just lost there, I get it, but there was no reason to take Georgia from 1.
Well,
and drop
no,
them all the
but,
way down
but,
that they
but
did.
I think what I tried to explain that in that clip a minute ago. Georgia got royally screwed. They probably should have been in the top four. But here's what happened on that committee. I'm guessing now, because you know these people don't ever do what they're supposed to do and tell us what happened, because they're afraid. And if you don't want to, if you really shouldn't be afraid if you're going to be on a sports committee. This isn't the Supreme Court where you're deciding what type of rights we have and freedoms in this country. So Georgia,
well, Paul, they
Georgia should
Alabama,
have definitely been in there over Florida State. I totally agree with that premise. But what happened in the committee is I think the people that were arguing feverishly for Alabama, and rightfully so, decided if they tried to get Florida State in there, they tried to get Georgia as well, they might lose their support. It's like, have you ever been on a jury?
No. Well, I know what you're talking about.
But that's what happens on a jury. There's a push and pull, and anybody that's ever been on any committee, and I think committees are the stupidest thing in the world, you have to give and take. You have to compromise, and that's how Florida State ended up where they were. Florida State should have been sixth or seventh, and we're all fraudulent in this, including myself, for acting like, well, yeah, they barely got in. We're just making this thing up because, in the end, what these things really are, there's countries in the world, and back in the day, they used to have arranged marriages. That's what we have. We're arranging to put people in the CFP. We don't know whether it's deserving or best. These analytics are nonsensical, but we do it anyway. Thank you very much for the call. Really great to hear from you. We have a really important guest coming up, David Hale, who covers college football for ESPN. He also covers the ACC when he can handle it, and he's with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and he's one of my favorite guests. He's a big Bama fan. David Hale, who you cover college football, but you also, you're on the ACC Network.
You
have a show.
They still have that?
You have a show there. And
I thought they set down the network because we didn't have our best quarterback.
And you're trying to upstage me this week.
No, this is a show of good faith among fellow colleagues in the sport. It looks good on you. You wear it well, Paul. I love it. But see, here's the thing I wanted to tell you, and I kind of rope-a-doped you into putting the helmet on. This isn't actually a Bama shirt. This is an acronym for barely able to manage my anger at the playoff committee for leaving Florida State out. What a terrible decision. You do look good, though, I have to say.
We had to double check because we weren't sure. I've never seen Florida State play, and I was counting on seeing them play in against Georgia in the playoff.
Uh-huh. I don't know if they'll even show up. There's no quarterback to play for them, so why?
That's would me.
Yeah, there we go. Florida's. This is what you missed out on, committee. You could have had this in the playoff against Michigan, and I think. Well, probably would have thrown for more yards than they did in the ACC championship game.
Put the camera back on this guy, and I'm going to have a crew here help me with this thing.
We get the jaws of life to get Paul. See, all the people who said that you had a big head from your days in the SEC, Paul, I think that it's been proven wrong.
That I've never worn a jock strap in Neyland Stadium.
You have, just not where you're supposed to wear
that's
one.
That's an old story. I spoke early in my career, and a bunch of old codgers were in the Knoxville Quarterback Club, And the guy said, you know, I played for the general. And I was quite a smart aleck back then. I said, which general are you talking about? And he said, General Neyland. I said, yes, sir. He said, have you ever worn a jock strap in Neyland Stadium like I have? I said, they never could find one my size. But anyway, so much to talk to you about. Once I get over this nausea from having the helmet on.
Yeah.
But you write the anger index. So let's hear some anger here.
I want to preface this by saying I am not upset that Alabama got into the playoff because they have been one of the best stories of the year in college football. I would argue that in his unparalleled career as a head coach, this might well be Nick Saban's best coaching performance. The way that he handled this quarterback situation, I mean, he was playing chess while the rest of us were playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. Like, he is He did a wonderful job this year. So this is not a knock on Alabama. But I just have such a problem with the notion that a bunch of folks in suits in a conference room in Texas can get together and say, I know what will happen in the playoff, and Florida State doesn't belong there because I know they can't win. It's just a ludicrous statement that undermines everything that happened on 13 fall Saturdays. And look,
I actually agree with you.
We have been around enough college football in recent years and seen enough of the really frustrating off-field stories and the rivalries that get killed and all of the stuff that is done in pursuit of more money for college football. The one thing that has remained sacrosanct throughout that is fall Saturdays. And this was the committee turning their back on that. And look, I mean, I get it, all right? If I was putting Texas and Florida State, the Vegas line will favor Texas. Same with Alabama, same with every other team in the playoff. That is inarguable. But
that's not a winning argument. That was Nick Saban's argument last year.
They don't make movies because you covered your 17-point spread, right? They make movies like Miracle about the U.S. hockey team beating Russia that nobody thought they could do it, and they did it. And after that was over, the U.S. or the IOC didn't come in and say, well, Russia's still the better team. We're going to put them in the gold medal game.
Russia did that, though, in the 1972 basketball.
And we still talk about it.
I saw Tom McMillan this summer in D.C. at an event, and I started bringing it up. He said, it's 50 years now.
Yeah, and genuinely, look, I have absolutely no doubt that there are wonderful human beings in the locker rooms of all four teams
absolutely.
That are going to play in the playoff, but I've been around these Florida State guys, and there's years where I wouldn't have told you go into that Florida State locker room and get to know everybody because it wasn't always great. That is a great locker room filled with a lot of guys who worked their butts off all year to get where they are, and 50 years from now, they're still going to be feeling that same way about being robbed of this opportunity.
That will be a Disney movie.
Yeah, well, maybe
well,
not a
maybe
Disney.
Maybe not a Disney. I want to bring up some other things because there's so many conspiracy theories out there. And you work for ESPN, but you've never been a guy that's been shy about telling the truth.
We'll see if I still have a job after this.
You're not like
over.
Us SEC water carriers. A lot of people feel like there's this cabal at ESPN that just favors the SEC about everything, but you know it because you work on the ACC network. The ACC network is a partnership with ESPN.
50-50 partners. I think there is not a deep state conspiracy here. I mean, that's just, if there is, I've certainly been left out of it. But there is, I think, the popular narrative and the ones that get repeated the most. And look, the SEC has a really good echo chamber, right? Like Greg Sankey's out there on game day, and much as you could make fun of the way that he approached it, he is helping to set a narrative. And that narrative gets repeated by a lot of people who see no reason to disagree with it because on the surface level, the narrative sounds good. Now, I'll point out something. Florida State's quarterback play in the ACC championship game was horrendous. That's clear, right?
But I only watched. What was it like to experience firsthand?
Well, I mean, essentially, they could do nothing at the quarterback position.
Who would their quarterback have been on January 1st?
It would have been Tate Rodemaker. And not only would it have been Tate Rodemaker, he would have had another month of taking first-team reps, which he had not done all year. So I think that has to play
That's
into the conversation,
fact.
And it didn't. And I would point out that, yes, the quarterback play was awful, but if you look at score differential and if you look at yards per play differential, Florida State over its last two games without Jordan Travis was better than Alabama or Michigan or Washington. Like, you know, there's more to it than just the quarterback. And I'm not going to pick on our good friend Greg McElroy, who's wonderful, but people tweeting out his stat line from when they played Texas in 2010 in the national championship, which looked an awful lot like Brock Glenn's stat line in the ACC championship game. There is more than one way to win a football game, and the committee just overlooked that completely.
Chatting with David Hale. David, you mentioned Greg Sankey. He went on a lot of shows. Friday the PG-rated McAfee show. He did our show. Saturday he did Game Day. Where was ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips all weekend?
Yeah, I mean, look, he was at the game on Saturday. In fact, my colleague Andrea Adelson specifically asked, hey, do you have something that you want to say about this decision before kickoff? You know, Alabama had already won. We knew what that was. Florida State had yet to kick off, and there was an opportunity to say something. He purposely said, I'm going to let this game speak for itself, and I'll speak after the game. He did release a statement to us after the game, but it's not the same in terms
but
of...
It is a fact. A year ago, and people criticized him, but Nick Saban went on the Big Ten... not the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten Championship game on Fox, campaigning, using the Vegas line logic. He tried. He failed, but he tried. It doesn't sound like the commissioner of the ACC really did anything other than...
It's very much in keeping with the personality of the ACC, and I don't mean this as an insult because I think in many ways it is a sign of high character, but they want to take the high road. They don't want to get down in the mud and play that game. And Mike Norvell certainly didn't want to do it, and I don't blame him because he's got a game to get ready for. But at the end of the day, as I said, so much of college football, when the decision is being made by a committee and committee members who aren't in that locker room and don't know your guys and don't know the whole story, perhaps, you've got to set a narrative. You've got to say, this is our side of the story. It'd be like going into court and having your defense attorney say, we don't need a closing argument. No biggie.
So I was watching a trial a couple weeks ago. It looked like they were doing that. So let me ask you this. Phillips didn't say anything. Norvell was coaching a game. There are other parts of this that I don't know whether they factor in or not, but you know, Florida State has been very vocal. You've been here talking about the president, about the board of trustees. I mean, they're an unhappy bunch.
Yeah.
And you also have, you juxtapose that, they ticked off pretty much everybody in the ACC. The chairman of the committee is from the ACC. Is Boo Corrigan? There are other members of the committee, are there not?
Indeed, yes. And so, and Corrigan, I should point out, is also the one who, not him specifically, but NC State, switched its vote at the last minute to allow Cal, right. SMU, right. and Stanford in, which also sort of rubbed Florida State the wrong way. There's some internal politics, but I genuinely don't think that's played a part here.
But it's good for conspiracy theories.
It is good for the conspiracy theories, but I'll give you the reason why it's not true. Florida State not making the playoff is dollars that is coming out of everybody's pockets. And not only that, by Florida State not making the playoff, Louisville loses out on an Orange Bowl bid.
Okay.
So there's a trickle down to every team in the league, and 11 of them made bowl games, which is pretty darn good. But all of them moved down a spot because Florida State missed the playoff.
Does this change the calculus at all for Florida State? Let's get beyond all this.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does.
What do you think they're thinking down there once they get over this this month-long mourning?
Well, let's be clear that Florida State already was one foot out the door. Maybe one pinky left in the door, to be honest with you, and that pinky was attached to a string being tied to a grant of rights. And I don't know that anything snips that string immediately, but if you need money to get out of the grant of rights, well, here's your pitch to every Florida State booster. This is what happens by us sticking where we are. And I don't know if that case will be made, but I can promise you what will happen is when they're fighting Florida for recruits, if I'm Billy Napier, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to go play in that league, that amateur hour league. Like,
you want to play in the playoffs, you go to the ACC.
And part of this, the problem with all of this, is the committee doesn't need to wrestle with any of the impact, the fallout of that, because there won't be a 4-team playoff next year. There's no
My only argument, and I said this a couple of days ago on a podcast, but my argument wasn't to say the committee said, okay, let's screw Florida State because they tried to get out, but it's part of the DNA of this university right now, and you have Corrigan in there. I don't know. I really forgot the guy who else is in there. Maybe you know.
There's
at least one, maybe two other.
Yeah, there's I think four or five that have had at least historically had it ties to the ACC.
So there's ACC connections, and by the way, everybody knows what Florida State did.
Yeah, we're not talking about Duke here. No offense to Duke. It's Florida State.
And you know because you talk to these people privately. It ticked a lot of people off around this very collegial, polite world of college athletics in the boardroom.
I think
so. The Wake Forest AD, Jim Grubb, who was a head coach there.
So, Jim Grubb. Yeah. So I will tell you that I think you're right, and I think this sort of gets back to what we were saying about Phillips and his approach. Is like there is within the confines of the ACC. A congenial, hey, this is the gentlemanly way that we do business here. We're all college administrators at the end of the day. And the fact of the matter is that's not life in college football right now. It's down in the muck.
This is UFC.
Yeah, and Florida State understands that because they have to. And so I think, you know, how much of that filters into how strongly you go up to fight.
This isn't thumb wrestling at the athletic club.
No, it's not. It's not. And I think there is, and I've heard this not just from Florida State, but from others, administrators around the league, is like, time to take the gloves off, man. We gotta be willing to get down in the muck and fight for everything that we have, because frankly, the very existence of the league depends on doing it.
And one other theory, I know FSU, they turned the SEC down 30 some odd years ago. This is an observation. I literally have not thought about this until you sat down, but I sincerely doubt they've made any new friends in the SEC this week.
No, and again, but again, at the end of the day, what will determine every decision is how much you're putting into the wallet.
Right.
And I mean, that's what I think. I'm not stepping out on a limb to say that's what determined this committee's decision.
No, there's
is
no question, but
money.
I don't know. I mean, this one has ramifications, though. Teams get screwed over all the time, but this one is a little different. I mean, yeah. There's so many tributaries here.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the funny thing is, I feel like we have crossed so many Rubicons in the last 3 years with college football. And one of the things that I keep coming back to hearing from ADs is like, I mean, it seems like a big deal, but the whole thing might get blown up in 2 or 3 years anyway. And then we have the news from President Baker today that suggests that maybe we're going to have a separate subdivision of FBS football in which schools provide funding, money, however you want to call it. It's basically compensation to players directly. I mean, it just goes to show you that at some point, all of the history of this doesn't matter anymore because the game is changing like that.
But when you hear a commissioner say something's unfathomable and you hear...
Nothing's unfathomable anymore.
Yeah, you hear the president and we're going to talk a little bit later about the Florida clown show in the state house and all the statements.
Nothing the politician loves more than a chance to grandstand over sports.
Frankly, not to get political here, but I thought the best shot across the bow that did not connect but made the most sense was the former president accusing the sitting governor, blaming him for this.
Hey, listen, if you can...
I mean, that's good politics.
The one thing that will bring the most conservative Republican and most liberal Democrat together is if you're a Florida State fan, you're both pissed off about the same thing
exactly.
Right now, so might as well take advantage of it.
No, and I mean, the governor who's struggling down there in the other contest he's in, I mean, he might as well be the ACC commissioner with the way he's handled this.
All right.
He congratulated
them. Now, Paul,
them.
You are leading me up to a line where I'm going to get fired on the other side of it, and I'm well aware of this.
They've already fired me.
Yeah, so
I'm just trying
to take the helmet with you when
you
go.
If they get rid of me, you're coming with me.
I'll take it.
So how important is this bowl game to FSU?
Look, I'd be very interested to see what the perception among FSU players are, because there's a lot of guys who've got a big future on Sundays now, and if they want to opt out, I certainly wouldn't blame them. They're not going to obviously have Jordan Travis one way or the other. I would guess Georgia will be down a few guys too, because that's the world that we live in. What I don't want to have happen is that this conversation a month from now gets reverse engineered to say, look, Florida State lost by 20 to Georgia in the bowl game, so clearly the committee made the right decision. The bowl game, as almost every bowl game is now, is so separate from the regular season because of opt-outs and transfer portal and all that, I'm not sure it means much of anything.
David Hale, really appreciate you coming in here and donning my Bama sweatshirt.
Somebody's going to take a screen grab of this and make me look very bad on social media. But hey, what are you going to do?
They have already. I put on a Gator jersey. I don't remember whatever. I still see it showing up. I mean, so you will never. I did the A-Day game at Alabama once, dressed up. I see that picture on every anti-rant. So you are – Jim Phillips is out in Vegas right now going, I thought he was one of us.
Yeah, no. Well,
he's a Bama guy.
As long as when you do a Google image search of me, I'm not in a neck brace all square. As long as I don't have that, I'm okay.
You have that. David L.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back, and still time for plenty of calls here. Bash is in Boulder. Hey, Bash.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. How are you doing today?
How's everything?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that, Paul. What was that?
I said, how are you?
Oh, I am absolutely fantastic. Thank you for asking. And I wanted to ask you, Paul, have you caught up on any sleep in the last 72 hours?
I feel great. Never felt better.
That is great to hear.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.